Okay, well, once again, good morning, and thanks for being here today. I got to tell you, I'm really excited about the message today. I kind of wish there would have been a few more people here, because I have been waiting for about 2 years to give this message. There have been things that have been on my heart and in my mind for a long, long time, and they've just been just wanting to come out, and finally today, I have the chance to share them with you, and so I'm excited. I'm excited to actually see how the Lord might, might use the things today to actually give us a new understanding, a new paradigm about church. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about how in order to build something new, sometimes we first need to tear down something old, right? We need to tear down in order to build. Well, today we're going to kind of tear down maybe some false ways of thinking, and hopefully by the time we leave here today, that Jesus will give us a renewed understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. So, looking forward to that. So, as you know, our current series is called Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And in this series, we want to discover who God wants us to be, right? As we gather here each week, as SIBC, as we think about what it means to be a church family, we don't want to be the church according to our own thinking and what we want. We don't want to follow the patterns or the ways of the world. And we don't even want to follow the traditions of church history. Our desire is to study the Word of God and really to discover God's heart for the church. Right, as the subtitle says in Japanese, what does it say? Kami no kokoro de, kami no kyokai. That's what our heart is. Our desire is that Jesus would give us a biblical paradigm for being the church and being the family of God. So today we're actually in Matthew chapter 23, and we actually looked at this passage 2 weeks ago if you were here, but we're going to look at it again today, the exact same verses. So we actually put the verses on the screen so we can just follow along and read together this way. All right, this is Matthew 23 verses 8 through 10. And it says this, Jesus says to you and I, he says, do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And then it continues on in verse 10, Jesus says, do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, right? That is Christ. So those are those verses that we looked at 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, I said that there were, I think, two main things that Jesus is trying to teach us. And we looked at one of those 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we saw that through these verses, Jesus says that we have one rabbi, one sensei, one spiritual father, one teacher, right? And Jesus says it's him. And so we spent 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus is our teacher. And we saw that Jesus wants to be our teacher, and he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to lead us into all truth, because that's really Jesus' heart. He wants us to look to him to be our teacher. And that's kind of an easy thing to, I mean, it's easy to understand Jesus wants to be our teacher, and yet that's also kind of hard for us to understand. Because so often, I think, in churches, we're used to looking not to Jesus, but we often look to the pastor to be our teacher, right? We often look to the pastor to teach us and to show us, teach us about the Christian life and help us understand the Bible. And yet Jesus says, no, guys, that's not the way it works. Right? Jesus doesn't want us to call a human being, another person, teacher, because Jesus says we have just one teacher, and it's him. And that's actually really exciting for us because, friends, Jesus is a much better teacher than any human being could ever be, right? He knows our heart. He knows what's going on in our lives. Why wouldn't we want to look to him as our teacher? So even as you listen to me today, and thank you for coming, and thank you for sitting there each week and listening to me, but even as you listen to me today, friends, Jesus wants you to look to him, right? So even though I'm the one teaching you right now, I'm not your teacher. Jesus is. Now, of course, I hope that Jesus might use some of the things we talk about today to speak truth and life into your heart. But from your side, I hope that really your prayer this morning as you come to SIBC, I hope your prayer is, Jesus, what do you want to teach me today? What do you want to teach me today through Michael? You see, friends, because of that kind of attitude, you're looking not to me or not to another person. You're looking to Jesus.
to be your teacher. And that's exactly what Jesus wants. So we have one teacher, and it's Jesus. And that's, I think, the first thing that Jesus is teaching us through these three verses we just read, and we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Well, today, we want to look at the second thing that I think Jesus is teaching us from these three verses. And friends, as we look at verses 8, 9, and 10, I think Jesus is giving us kind of a new paradigm for leadership in the church. Jesus is giving us a new model. He's giving us a glimpse of what church structure should look like. And as we go through and see this today, friends, Jesus' ideas about church and church leadership and church structure are actually very, very different from what most of us have experienced in church today. So let me try to explain this morning. Friends, in most churches around the world, and that includes SIBC, churches are organized, or they're structured as a hierarchy. Isn't that right? A hierarchy means that there's kind of different levels of people within the church, right? It's a kind of a ranking system within the church. And so the best way to illustrate a hierarchy is with a pyramid, right? I think you got a little pyramid there on your yellow outline. Right? But this is kind of how churches are structured today. And let me just go ahead and fill in the blanks for you. Right? But kind of at the bottom of the pyramid would be the people of the church, the brothers and sisters, if you will. Right? And these are the people who attend the church each week or each month, and they give their offering and they help out in different ways around the church. But this makes up most of the people in the church. It's the brothers and sisters. Right? And then next up, as you go up this hierarchy, above that would be the church leaders. Now, the Bible uses a couple of different words. The Bible talks about elders and deacons and overseers. And in a few weeks, we'll talk about who those people are. But, you know, here at SIBC, we don't call leaders elders, deacons, and overseers. We call them the leadership team, right? Right? This would also include assistant pastors or Sunday school teachers or youth leaders or translators or worship leaders or, well, what's the phrase they use in Japanese for the guy under the pastor? Dendoshi, right? Right? It includes anyone who's kind of a leader within the church. And then on top of the pyramid is usually who? In the church? It's usually the pastor, right? Right? And for most pastors, this is their full-time job. This is their occupation. They went to school and they received special education and special training in order to do this job. And therefore, most pastors actually get paid, right, to do the work of the church. And for this reason, the pastor is often seen as the head of the church. Now, of course, everyone says, oh, yeah, but Jesus is the head of the church. And we know that. But honestly, in just the way most churches function and the way most people think, most people actually look to the pastor as the head of the church, right? They just think he's the leader. He's the one who's been gifted. He's been called. He's being paid to do what he's doing. He's the head of the church. He's the top of the hierarchy. And friends, this is the church structure that we see in most churches, right? I mean, this is how most churches are organized, like I say, including SIBC. This is a picture of us. Now, the nature of the hierarchy is this. This is true of all hierarchies. Friends, in a hierarchy, those who are, the closer you get to the top of the hierarchy, right, how do I say, those who are closer to the top are thought to have greater value or greater importance among the group. Isn't that true? I mean, it's true in all hierarchies. As you begin to go closer to the top, the thinking is that person's more important to the church, more important to the school, more important to the business, right, whatever the hierarchy is. Right? The closer you get to the top, it's perceived that you're more important, you have more value. Right? And because of that, often those who are at the top or near the top, they have greater expectations placed on them, right? In the church, church leaders, they're expected to, you know, attend all the meetings and be on time, and they're expected to serve maybe more than others and help out more than others. Right? Also, those near the top have greater responsibility. At the same time, they maybe have more authority in the church, more influence over the activities of the church, over maybe the life of the people in the church. But that's kind of the way all hierarchies work, right? The higher you go up, the more influence, the more value, the more important people seem to think that you are. And friends, I think this is a very common way of understanding leadership in the church. And actually, this model of church has been around since about the year 400 AD. This is when churches first started becoming this kind of this hierarchy thing. So this has been around for a long, long time. And I think the reason why this is so common in churches is, friends, this is the model we see everywhere around us. If you look out into the world, right, we see hierarchies everywhere. We see them in schools, right? In schools, you have, at the bottom, you have the students, and then you have the teachers, and then at the top, you have the principal, right? It happens in business. In the business, you have all the workers, the managers, and the owner. It happens this way in government. It happens this way in the military. Pretty much every organization that we know that exists in society, it's a hierarchy. And it's good. We need this. If we don't have this kind, this is a good way to organize people and to have groups of people work together for a common goal. We need this kind of hierarchy in the world today. It's good. But, friends, this is not kingdom thinking. As we saw in our series on kingdom culture, often the ways of God are different than the ways of the world. And while this seems so natural to us when we look at the world around us, because this is the only model we know for organizing a group of people or an organization, friends, this has no foundation in the Word of God. The Bible does not teach this as a valid form of structure within the church. The idea that one person kind of sits at the top and is the head of the church and does the work of the church and has authority over the people of the church and makes decisions for the entire church, that thinking is completely foreign to the New Testament. And as we go on in the series, that'll become very, very clear to us. Now, it is possible if you start with the conclusion that church is supposed to look like a hierarchy, if you start with that as your conclusion, you could read Scripture and you could try to find Scriptures and say, see, this is hierarchy. See, this is saying there's hierarchy. You could twist the kind of the Scripture and make it fit this. But I think if we really approach the Word of God with an open heart, we would never come to this. Because, friends, this is not God's heart for the church. Right? We find nothing about hierarchy in the church when we read the Word of God. So friends, this is not a kingdom model for the body of Christ. And the reason why I share all of this with you is because, friends, I think this helps us to understand what Jesus is saying in Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10. Right? Take a look again at verse 8. Right? Notice what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say, do not teach. Jesus does not say, do not be a teacher. Right? In fact, later on in Matthew, Jesus actually commands his disciples to go out into the world and to teach. Right? So Jesus has no problem with being a teacher or with doing a teaching. What Jesus has a problem with, he has a problem with people being called a teacher. Doing it's okay. But being called a teacher, he doesn't like that for some reason. It's the same in verse 9. Right? In verse 9, Jesus does not say it's wrong to be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to maybe younger Christians who are around you. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus says that to call someone a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, well, that's not something he wants. In verse 10, Jesus doesn't say that it's wrong to be a leader. He doesn't say that it's bad to lead. In fact, Jesus wanted his disciples to be leaders. However, Jesus didn't want them to be called leaders. Do you guys see the difference? It might not seem like a big difference, but actually I think it's a huge difference. Jesus has no problem with us doing these things, teaching and leading and whatnot. Rather, for Jesus, the problem was when we start to put a title on someone, we take a label and we stick it on someone. The problem is when we call someone a leader, when we look at that person and say, oh, they're a great teacher, and we put sticker on them, teacher. You see, doing the things are okay, but Jesus didn't like it when we put titles on those people. Do you see the difference? So why does Jesus say these things? Why is he so concerned about titles and labels and what we call people? Well, friends, I think it's because Jesus was trying to prevent this. I think Jesus is trying to prevent hierarchy in the body of Christ. You see, friends, in the church, when we put a title on someone, when we call them pastor or leader or elder or apostle, that actually causes division in the church. Division not where people are fighting, not that kind of division, but division in the sense that now we have two groups of people. We have the elders and the non-elders, the leaders and the non-leaders. And we divide, and there's division, right? Anytime we put a label on someone, call someone pastor or teacher or apostle, whatever, friends, those titles create hierarchy. Right? Titles create hierarchy. As soon as someone gets a special name or a special title before or after their name that no one else has, suddenly that person's above the others. Imagine if a group of Christians got together, maybe some friends, a group of 10 friends. They would get together every week just for a time of worship, and they read the Bible together, and they pray together and seek God together. And let's say they just did that. They were just friends. They were just hanging out. They were doing that, and they did that for a couple of weeks and a couple of months. And finally someone said, you know, it'd be good if we had a leader, someone, a pastor of this group. And then if they, you know, kind of decided, maybe we'll have this person to be pastor. As soon as they put the label pastor on that person, suddenly that person's not a part of the group in the way that they were before. In the eyes of all the people, suddenly that person is now somehow above the others. Somehow, he hasn't changed much, he just has a new title, but that new title, now somehow they see him differently, they look at him differently. Suddenly, that group of friends that once met together as equals, now there's division. There's two groups. Now, there's hierarchy. Now, some people are called brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so, but one person gets called, you know, so-and-so sensei. And friends, I think in this way, the titles we put on people actually reinforces hierarchy in the church. Titles reinforce a church structure which, as we'll see here in just a moment, friends, does not come from the heart of God. And so I think this is what Jesus was trying to say in Matthew 28. He's trying to warn us against this. The titles and things that he seems so concerned about, that this is why. And friends, actually we see hints of this all throughout the Bible. In the weeks to come, I'll show you a couple of examples, but let me just show you two examples today of how hierarchies maybe aren't God's heart for the church. All right, one example is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you were here last week, we read 1 Corinthians 12 together, and this is the passage where Paul compares the church to a human body. And starting in verse 21, Paul says that sometimes in the body of Christ, we like to lift up certain members of the body, and we like to treat them as if they are more important or more valuable than the other members. Right? We like to give worth and honor to some people more than others in the body of Christ. That's what Paul says, right? But then Paul goes on to say, that's not the way it should be. No one in the church, Paul says, is more important or more valuable than anyone else. In fact, in verses 24 and 25 that we read last week, Paul says that God clearly does not want division in the body of Christ. Look at verse 25. Paul says God arranges all the parts just the way he wants so that there should be no division in the body of Christ. Now again, division isn't people fighting, you know, I don't like you, you don't like me. You know, it's not that kind of fighting. Division is, he's talking about some people being above others, some people being below others. Paul says, no. Paul says, that's not God's heart. What Paul's saying here is that in the body of Christ, there's no hierarchy. There's no hierarchy in the church. There's no division. We're equal. Equal concern for one another. I think another example is in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the world's paradigm for leadership. And look at what Jesus says.
And it says, Jesus called them, the disciples, together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Now, I think it's important for us to see here that, unfortunately, the English is actually translated maybe in a way that's a little bit misleading. Because when we see this English phrase, lord it over them, right, that usually has a negative meaning to us, right? It makes us think of rulers who are maybe abusing their power, or they're mistreating the people under them, right? But friends, that's not really what Jesus is saying. Just, the Greek just simply means that the Gentiles rule over the people. Just to govern the people. In fact, that's exactly what it says in Japanese. It says, the rulers rule the people. So Jesus is just talking about how the Gentile, their system of leadership is that the rulers govern the people. That the rulers have authority and power over the people. Jesus isn't talking about a corrupt system of government. He's just talking about a hierarchy system of government. And after explaining this, what does Jesus say to his disciples about this kind of leadership? What does he say? Not so with you. Gentiles have hierarchy, but not so with you. Gentiles have some people above another, but not so with you. The Gentiles have authority over one another, but not so with you, Jesus says. Jesus didn't want his disciples to follow the patterns of the world, right? He doesn't want his disciples to function as leaders in this hierarchy system. He doesn't want his disciples to rule over people or have authority over people. In fact, if we were to keep reading the next three verses, Jesus talks about servanthood. And instead, he wants his disciples to lead by being servants. They're not on the top, lording it over people and authority going down. They're on the bottom and they're serving. Friends, again, it's pretty clear here. Hierarchy in the body of Christ is not the heart of God. Hierarchy is not it's not a part of kingdom culture. And so here in Matthew 23, I think this is why Jesus is so concerned about the titles we give. Don't let anyone call you teacher. Don't let anyone call you leader. Don't call anyone father. Because, friends, those titles, they create this division. They create hierarchy in the body of Christ. And that's not what God wants. That's not the kind of church that Jesus wants to build. So, before we move on to maybe give you a better way of understanding church structure, a more biblical paradigm for church structure, let me just share with you three reasons why I think this form of structure in the church, I think, is actually unhealthy or harmful for the church. All right, let me tell you why I think hierarchy is really something we want to avoid in the church. Three things here. First of all, friends, in a hierarchy, there exists the possibility of abuse, right? Right, you know how people are. When people get power, you know, it's fun to have power. It's fun to have control and influence over people. And some people really enjoy being in a position and a power of authority. And sadly, that's true of even pastors sometimes. Right? They enjoy being the head of the church. It's nice that people look up to them and honor them and listen to them and follow them. And unfortunately, sometimes even pastors begin to use their power to manipulate or control people. But they use their authority to get people to do things for their own selfish desires, selfish gains. Now, of course, many, many pastors are not like that, right? Many pastors, they just have a genuine desire to love God and serve the people and point people to Jesus. But friends, as with any hierarchy, whether it's government or in business or in the church, with any hierarchy, there's the possibility that those at the top will abuse and misuse their power and their authority. And clearly that's not God's will for His people. And so in this way, hierarchy in the church could actually be dangerous and harmful and hurtful to the body of Christ. I think secondly, hierarchy in the church, I think, prevents us from really being the true body of Christ. Hierarchy actually prevents us from being the people God wants us to be. As we'll begin to see in the next few weeks, friends, every Christian
has a part to play in the church, right? We all have a function. We all have a purpose. We all have gifts that God has given to us for the benefit of the entire church. In this sense, to use an Old Testament image, we're all priests. Friends, we all have a ministry. And when we get together, it says that everyone has a gift to share. Everyone has something to give to the entire church family. And that's how the church should be. But often that's not the way church is. Because in a hierarchy, we don't let everyone do what they've been gifted to do. We don't have a place for everyone to serve and everyone to be a priest and everyone to have a ministry. Because in a hierarchy, what we do is we take the ministry out of the hands of the people and we give it to the leaders and the pastor. Right? So a small group of people are doing most of the ministry in the church, and a large group of people actually have very little opportunity to do any sort of meaningful ministry at all. And as a result, we have pastors and leaders who are tired and burnt out because they're doing too much. And we have people in the church who are bored stiff because they're not being allowed to do hardly anything at all. And as a result, the body of Christ remains weak and ineffective. And we never really become the people God wants us to be. So we'll talk more about that next week. But I think just this hierarchy, it prevents some people from really being part of the body of Christ. We become too dependent on those we perceive to be at the top. And then thirdly, I think another reason why hierarchy is just, it's not good for the church is hierarchy causes us or tempts us to look to human leaders instead of looking to Jesus, right? And that's what we've been talking about these last few weeks. Jesus says we have one teacher, one leader, one pastor, and it's Jesus, right? And for this reason, we want to only look to Jesus. But friends, in a hierarchy, not only is it natural, it's actually kind of expected. It's expected of the people to actually look to the person at the top of the pyramid, right? But we're expected to look to the pastor and listen to the pastor and follow the pastor. And while no one ever intends for this to happen, the pastor ends up standing between the people and God. And as a result, we often never learn to look to Jesus for ourselves. Because we're just following the pastor. And so, friends, we've seen a number of times in these last few weeks that that's not God's heart for the church, right? He's our leader, He's our teacher, He's our shepherd. And so, friends, as we are taking time in this series to rethink church, I think we need to seriously consider just getting rid of this model of church structure. I think we really need to consider that this is not who God wants us to be. This is not based on the Word of God. It's not God's heart for the church. And I think as long as we continue to remain a hierarchy, I think it will be difficult for us to become the true body of Christ. I think it'll be difficult for us to grow and to mature both as a group and as individuals. So, I said today we were going to tear down because we need to tear down in order to build up. That was the tearing down part. And that's actually maybe hard for a lot of us to even accept because this is so common in the world around us. We just assume this is the way it is in the church as well. But friends, as we'll see, Jesus has a different way. Jesus has a way that reflects the heart of God, that reflects, well, kingdom culture. So what's the alternative? If structure in the church is not a hierarchy, if it's not a pyramid, what is it? Well, friends, Jesus gives us, in verses 8 through 10, Jesus gives us actually a new paradigm for church. He actually gives us a new paradigm for leadership and for church structure. And it's right there in these three verses, and it has just two parts. I mean, how simple is that? Right? I mean, no one could ever write a book with just 2 points. You have to have at least five or six, right, to have a really good book. Jesus has two parts for his church structure. Leave it to Jesus to make it simple. Good, here they are. Let me share them with you. First of all, Jesus is the center of the church. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard me say that? Right? I've already said it many times in this series. I've said it many times today, right? Verses 8 through 10, Jesus says, He's our teacher, He's our father, He's our leader. Or to use the words of Paul, Jesus is our head. Right? Take a look here. Oops, there's one teacher, one father, one leader. But look at Ephesians 5. Paul says, Christ is the head of the church. He's the head. He's the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So friends, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of this church. I'm not the head. The Bible never says the pastor's the head of the church. That's the wrong paradigm for church. Jesus is the head. It's his church. Now, I know that I say this a lot, don't I? I say this a lot, but friends, saying it is the easy part. The hard part is actually allowing this to change the way we think about church. The hard part is actually beginning to think about church differently and do church differently. Because we know that Jesus is the head. The hard part is changing our thinking so that Jesus actually becomes the head of SIBC. Friends, what does it mean for Jesus to really be the head of this church? If Jesus were really the head of this church, would things change? Or would things just continue on as they do now? Right? If Jesus were really the head of the church, would it change how we gather together on Sunday morning? Would it change the things that we do? What does it really mean for us to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and follow Jesus? We say that, but if we really did that, what would that mean for us? If Jesus were really the head of the church, would it change my involvement in the things that I do here each week? If Jesus were really the head of the church, of the body, would it change what you do on Sunday morning when you come here each week? It's easy to say Jesus is head of the church, but I don't think any of us have really considered what that actually means and how it should actually affect how we be the body of Christ together. And so I know I say this a lot, Jesus is the head and he's the center and all this, but friends, that's more than just words. We have to really begin to consider, what does this mean for us? And that's not something where I say, okay, it means this, and I tell you what to do, because that would be hierarchy. That would be me making the decision and telling you what to do. But as we're going to see, that's not the way the church operates. So I really hope that we would all maybe take time to really consider, what it means to be the authentic people of God. What does it really mean to have Jesus as our head? Are we really willing to look to Him and listen to Him and follow Him? But friends, that's part of Jesus' new paradigm for the church. One teacher, one master, one Lord, one rabbi, one head, one pastor, it's Jesus. So we see that in verses 8 through 10. But there's a second part to Jesus' paradigm that we see in these verses. And take a look here at verse 8. Verse 8, Jesus says this, "But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are," what does he say? "All brothers." You are all brothers. So instead of a hierarchy where one person is above another person in the church, how does Jesus describe our relationship with one another? He says it's like a family, right? He says we're all brothers, and you could add sisters as well, right? We're brothers and sisters. You see, friends, and that's not hierarchy. That's equality. At least, in my thinking, that's equality. I was just thinking last night in bed. I had a hard time getting to sleep. And as I was lying in bed, I was thinking, but in Japanese culture, there's hierarchy even in family, isn't there? Right? Because when I say, I have a brother, what do you say? Well, is he older brother, younger brother? Because Japanese have the separate words to designate older brother, younger brother, older sister, younger sister. In fact, some guys even have names. You know, it's like Kenichi. Well, he's the first son. Even his name just designates him as the guy on top, right? He's better than the other brothers that come after, right? So maybe in Japanese, it's harder to understand how brothers and sisters is Jesus is talking about equality. That's exactly what he's talking about. Right? Jesus, he's not wanting this to be hierarchy. He's just saying, you guys are the same. You guys are equal. You're to look at each other as brothers and sisters. It's not one Christian who's above another, but it's two Christians walking side by side. Friends, consider this. Consider this. If you go back to verse 1, you see that as Jesus is saying these words, he's talking to both his disciples and a crowd of people. And that's really significant that he's saying these things about being brothers and sisters to a whole crowd of people plus his disciples. Right? Because Jesus, you know, he could have said this to the crowds. He could have looked at the crowds and said, hey guys, after I'm gone, you see these 12 guys here? These are my disciples. And after I'm gone, they're going to be the apostles of the church. And they're going to be your leaders and your teachers and your spiritual fathers. And these 12, I want you to look to them and follow them and listen to them. Jesus could have said that. Right? Jesus could have elevated his disciples in the eyes of the people and given them power and authority over the people. Right? Jesus could have given them really cool titles. Hey, all you people, when I'm gone, call these guys rabbi. Call them teachers. Call them apostles. Call them pastors. Jesus could have said that, but he didn't. Instead, he looked at the people. He looked at his disciples. He looked at the people. He looked at his disciples. And he said, you're all brothers and sisters. These 12 guys who are standing here with me, they're no better, they're no different than any of you. That would have been a great opportunity for Jesus to set his disciples up as leaders of the church. As what he does is he takes them down and he says, you guys are all the same. You see, friends, completely different paradigm than what we're used to. You see, Jesus didn't want hierarchy and ranking in the church. He wants family, brothers and sisters, where we're treated as equal. And friends, that's Jesus' paradigm for church. Rather than this impersonal hierarchy where people are, you know, it's everything's one way, Jesus wants church to be about relationship. So, sorry, Yuko, added some things in there, didn't I? So instead of a pyramid, maybe we can think of church as a circle, right? So just imagine that Jesus took that pyramid and he just kind of flattened it, right? He just kind of flattened it, made this nice round circle. And so now that's the church. And of course, in the center of the church is who? It's Jesus, right? Because he's the center. He's the head of the church. That's who Jesus is, right? And then around the circle, we have the people of the church, the brothers, the sisters. And notice how each one of us is connected to Jesus because each one of us is looking to Jesus. Each one is following Jesus. Each one is listening to Jesus because Jesus is our head. Not as a group, but as an individual. He's my head. He's your head. He's your head. So we all are connected to Jesus. But not only that, friends, we are also, look at this, we're connected to one another. Right? There's this connection to one another. It's not that there's two or three people in the church who are like doing all the ministry and serving everyone else and everyone else is just kind of, you know, not doing it back. There's this sense in where we all have a ministry. We all serve one another. We're all leading in one another and teaching one another and helping one another. We're all using our gifts that God has given us to build up one another. And the key there is one another, one another, one another. It's not one way. It's not from the top of the pyramid down. It's one another. And friends, that is a very different paradigm from what most of us have ever known. We might look at that and say, oh yeah, that's the way it is. But that's not the way we do it. That's friends, in this paradigm, there is no hierarchy among the people of the church. Right, we saw this again in 1 Corinthians 12. Right, there's no division in the body of Christ. No one is elevated above someone else. No one is treated as more important. No one is treated as more valuable than anyone else. There's equal concern for one another, Paul says. Now, here's the hard part. Here's what makes this so hard to actually do. All right, here's the hard part. Friends, even though 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are all equal, 1 Corinthians 12 also says that we are not the same. Right? It says that God has actually created us as different parts. Each one of us is a different part of the body of Christ. Right? And as such, we all have different roles. We all have different gifts. We all have different functions within the body of Christ. So you know what that means? That means among these brothers and sisters who are equals, right? Among these brothers and sisters, there will be some people who will actually teach. That will be their way of serving in the body of Christ. That'll be their gift to the church. That'll be what God has gifted them to do and has given them abilities to do. Right? But even though their gift is teaching, this does not mean they're more important than anyone else in the church. And that's where we have a hard time with. Because when someone begins to stand out like that, we want to lift them up and treat them as more important. We want to put that label on them, teacher. And suddenly it creates hierarchy. But the reality is there are some people who will teach. Right? But that does not mean we lift them up. That does not mean we call them teacher. Because we only have one teacher, right? His name is Jesus. And he's the one we look to. But just because some people teach, it doesn't mean they're more important to the body of Christ. Paul says every part is important. Everyone. On top of that, some brothers and sisters in the church, some of the church family, right, they will be gifted in areas of leadership. Some will have the ability to lead and to guide. And they will help the rest of the family just to grow and to move forward in Christ. And that's how God will use them in the body of Christ. And the temptation for us is we will want to lift them up. Oh, hey, they're really good at leading. We'll make them our leader. And we lift them up. We begin to look to them instead of looking to Jesus. But we can't do that because, first of all, God doesn't want hierarchy and division in the church. And second, we already have a leader in the church, and it's Jesus, right? So in the body of Christ, there will be teachers and there will be leaders. And as I said, as we go on in the series, we'll take a look at just really what teachers and leaders look like in Scripture. But friends, let me say here that even though there are teachers and leaders in the body of Christ, right? And they will be different, or they say, how they teach and lead is very different from what we see in the world around us. They will teach and they will lead, but they will do so as equals. They won't be people on top who are teaching down. They won't teach from above, they'll teach from among. Does that make sense? They don't teach from above, they teach from among. They don't stand out above the group. They're just part of the family. They're just a part of the family, a part of the body, and just part of what they do is they help teach and they help lead and they help guide. But as they do that, they never, never, never replace Jesus as our teacher and as our leader. And as I try to imagine how that works, it's hard for me. Because immediately I just go back to In my thinking, my hierarchy thinking, leaders have to have followers. You have to have hierarchy if you're a leader. But I think Jesus has a whole different way of thinking about leaders. I think in the New Testament, leaders don't have followers. Because leaders are just pointing people to Jesus. We all follow Jesus. That's kind of hard for me to understand, but I think maybe this is closer to the church that's on God's heart, at least closer than the pyramid, the hierarchy. But friends, I think this is Jesus' model for the church. And it's really just quite simple, isn't it? There's just two parts. The pastor's not the head of the church. Jesus is. He's our teacher. He's our leader. He's the center. We follow him. And then second, church is not a hierarchy. Even though we're different, we're also equal. Even though we have different gifts and different roles and different functions, we do not use those differences to elevate some people above the other. No. Jesus says we're all brothers and sisters. And so, friends, this is Jesus' model for church. And as we continue on in the series, we'll see that actually this is the model for the whole of the New Testament. We'll see this again and again, week after week. We'll see that this is the model that the Bible puts forth as for how churches are supposed to be organized and structured. And in the weeks to come, I think that'll become very, very clear to us. Well, friends, as we get ready to close, I want to remind you again about next Sunday afternoon. Right, as we, after lunch, as we take time to talk, these are the kind of things that I just kind of want to hear what you're thinking. Right, every Sunday you get to hear what I'm thinking, but I want to know what you're thinking. As we're taking time to rethink church, what sort of thoughts and ideas are going through your head? What sort of questions do you have or doubts do you have? What sort of ideas or suggestions? You know, I want to hear from you, because if we're going to be like this, we can't just have one person doing all the teaching and give all the input and everyone else just kind of sit there and nod their head. If we're going to be a family and be relational, we need to have time where we're talking about these things together. So if you have time next Sunday afternoon, I encourage you to stick around after lunch. And it's just going to be I have no agenda. We're just going to sit and just talk. And I think that'll be good for us. But friends, for today, this is what I want to leave with you. Church, it's not a hierarchy. It's a family, right? It's not a few people who lead and serve everyone else. It's everyone coming together as equals, serving and building up one another. And we come here not to look to a person or listen to a person. We come to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus. He's our head. Friends, I believe that's the church that Jesus wants us to be. So as we take time now, just to have prayer and worship, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus how maybe he needs to change your thinking. Maybe how does he need to maybe tear down old paradigms in your head and help build up a new paradigm. But more than that, how does Jesus want you to respond? It's really easy sometimes to come and just kind of let those at the top of the pyramid kind of, you know, have everything all prepared, and we prepare the service, and just to kind of come and enjoy, which I think is a good thing. But does Jesus have maybe a different role for you? I really want to encourage you to consider that. What does it really mean that Jesus is our head and your head? How does that change how we do life together when we gather here on Sunday? So we're going to take some time, give you some time to be still before the Lord. And communion is also available for you today if you would like to do that. If you would like to give offering, that's also available in the back of the room. And of course, as we begin just to sing and worship Jesus, then please feel free to join us in that time. But let me go ahead and pray. Jesus, we do thank you that you are the head of the church. We thank you, Jesus, that you desire to be our head. And Jesus, we don't really even know what that means and how that might affect us and how we do life here. But Jesus, we want to learn. So we invite you to come now and be our teacher. Jesus, we ask that you would give us wisdom and revelation and insight into how you want us to be, who you want us to be. And Jesus, if we need to tear down maybe some church structure here at SIBC so that we can become more and more the people that reflect your heart, Jesus, we ask that you would lead us and you would guide us, that you would teach us how to do that. Because our desire is to be the people you want us to be. Our desire is to follow you as head.